I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today, I'm speaking with Joshua Mullen, who is Vice President and Leader of Booz Allen Hamilton's Health and Life Sciences Commercial Business. We're going to be discussing cybersecurity challenges facing the pharmaceutical and life sciences sector. So, Josh, for starters, please paint a picture of what the cyber threat landscape looks like for the pharmaceutical sector right now, and how does that differ from what other segments of the healthcare sector and what they face?
It's a really fascinating topic because across my career, I've had the privilege to work across so many different industries. And it's absolutely true that not all industries are created equal when it comes to cybersecurity. For the longest time, I would say the financial services sector has carried the baton as kind of the most mature industry when it comes to cyber readiness. They tend to invest a bit more heavily than other sectors. They tend to be earlier adopters of disruptive technologies that can really transform the playing field in the favor of the good guys. But when you talk about pharma, what's most interesting is that for the longest time prior to COVID, there was almost a unspoken rule that the broader healthcare industry, and access to it via providers and the benefits from it in terms of devices, therapies, and pharmaceuticals was sort of off limits. In fact, I'm thinking backwards, Marianne. The one major incident that comes to mind pre-COVID during the NotPetya attacks, was more than likely an accidental spillover. It wasn't even a targeted attack on pharma. But, post-2020, we really started to see a rise in ransomware actors, these threat groups that deliberately target companies' networks and gain access to them and then lock up systems and essentially hold companies hostage until a ransom payment is made, or those attackers can be kind of fought off the network. And as they started to really become active, the healthcare provider space in particular was really quickly identified as low-hanging fruit. I'm talking about offices, hospitals, clinics, places where historically there had been a very heavy underinvestment, I would say, in cyber. And so they were targeted. And once that occurred, it kind of felt like the gloves came off more broadly across the entire healthcare and life sciences ecosystem. So when you look at pharma, suddenly they had a lot more to worry about than they did before. Now, I will say pharma clients, our pharma partners, they tend to be much more mature than other segments of the healthcare system. The CISOs and their teams tend to have larger budgets, a deeper bench of talent, and some real tradecraft relative to some regional or even larger hospital systems. But I think that's reflected in some truly great cybersecurity programs in pharma these days. But it's always a work in progress when you talk about cyber, as you know.
So, Josh, with that said, pharmaceutical industry companies in general seem, more mature when it comes to cybersecurity, but they are also facing many of the same or similar threats as the rest of the healthcare sector, ransomware, so on and so forth. What are some of the top challenges when it comes to cybersecurity that you do see pharmaceutical and life sciences companies dealing with right now as they face these threats?
Without a doubt, pharma has a relatively large attack surface compared to other sectors, right? So really any company that has a major manufacturing capacity and the kind of associated distribution infrastructure that goes along with that manufacturing capacity is going to, by default, face a lot more cyber challenges, not just in the traditional IT cyberspaces, but also in, OT cyberspaces as well. So, you think of the Internet of Things. Now, when you're linking facilities around the globe to your broader networks, there's a lot of benefit, right, for the companies. There's a lot of data and telemetry that provides invaluable insights to business and helps pharma's optimize production capacity, but it's also an opportunity space for bad actors to exploit. So that's an area we see a lot of focus on and attention at the moment in pharma. There was an initial large-scale investment in that space in the mid-20 teens, but like any part of a security program, I think it's recognized that standing still is sort of moving backwards. So I would say over the last 24 months or so, we've seen a heavy reinvestment in that OT security space to really continue to harden and refine those elements of their security programs.
So, Josh, attacks on pharmaceutical players can disrupt supply chains, pose patient safety risks, put intellectual property and research and development efforts at risk, and cause many other sorts of disruptions. What are you most worried about and why?
Is there like an option D, all of the above? No, I think you hit the nail on the head, Marianne. You know, the supply chain in particular is something that certainly keeps me up at night. It's just so vulnerable, and frankly, the distributed nature of the pharmaceutical supply chain is such that there's a lot that's outside of the control of any one company at any given moment, let alone, you know, a CISO who may be charged to manage that risk. I do have to say the leaders, you know, the security leaders inside of pharmaceutical companies, medical device companies, you know, major providers, they're really true heroes in this story, Marianne. You know, they own so much risk. They're facing such a large attack surface that they need to protect, and their adversaries only have to be right once, while they have to get it right 100% of the time. So it's a thankless job, and there are some great teams and great companies out there doing really phenomenal work. But you're correct, the supply chain is just such a complex, independent thing. The smallest disruption in one part of the world can have knock-on effects that quickly, you know, filter their way back to everyday Americans, whether that's access to drugs and therapies, access to medical records, you know, the ability to go to your pharmacy and have that pharmacy verify that you're insured and the price of the medication you're seeking. So, we've seen these happen. I mean, these are publicly available attacks that have made their way into mainstream media over, you know, the last couple of years. So there's a lot of tension on that at the moment inside of pharma. I mentioned OT security earlier, Marianne, which is a big part of that, but reimagining manufacturing altogether is a major part of that as well. Manufacturing 4.0 is a buzz term in a lot of sectors now, how they're going to optimize that even more. I think there's elements of kind of adopting zero trust principles across business units, across regions. And we've seen a lot of focus recently on even geopolitical risk analysis, right? So what does it mean to be and operate in certain regions of the world, you know, where risk may be heightened for any particular reason?
Josh, overall, it sounds as though the pharmaceutical sector is not quite as stretched for cyber resources as we see in other segments or other, you know, less mature segments of the healthcare sector, like healthcare providers. With that said, what are they investing in when it comes to cyber? You know, you mentioned OT, you mentioned zero trust. Where do you see the interest by the pharmaceutical sector in what they are, you know, actually spending time and resources on when it comes to trying to improve their own cybersecurity posture?
That's a great question. And you're right again, Marianne. You know, pharma is, relative to other segments of the healthcare ecosystem, a much more mature sector. You know, I mentioned at the beginning that we've often observed our financial services clients being the most mature, but I would say pharma has really upped its game over the past decade. You know, and when you look inside of just the healthcare sector, yeah, pharma's much more advanced and resourced. But, you know, listen, there's a war for talent always in the cyber arena. You have not just other pharma companies, but other industries and even the government fishing in a finite pool of really, you know, talented professionals. Areas like threat hunting, automation and optimization, even senior cyber executives. It's a tough space to find top talent, and that talent is always vulnerable to being poached by another company and a better job. But I definitely mentioned OT earlier. I would call out threat hunting as well. You know, being more proactive in general, Marianne, is an area that I think we're seeing a lot of the pharma companies pivot towards, right? So not just waiting for something, you know, to happen that they need to react to, but really hardening the enterprise and then being active inside of that environment to make sure, you know, mean time to detect is reduced and potential big problems are found when they're still relatively easy to address.
Josh, when it comes to the OT angle, are there particular kinds of OT that you know kind of fall into this area where you know they're upping cybersecurity efforts? Are they, you know, the lab equipment used to research, you know, new drugs? Is it the supply chain, the manufacturing? What sort of OT are sort of in the spotlight?
Yeah, well, listen, obviously, our clients in the pharmaceutical space, you know, their crown jewels are their IP. And so when you think about R&D and then obviously the associated manufacturing capacity for those therapies and drugs, there's a heavy focus always in that space. But it's the full supply chain, Marianne, when you think about a pharmaceutical company and OT security. There's a lot of great tools and technologies that have come into the fold to help with that. I also think there's been a more integrated top-down approach recently, which is always important, I feel like, in security programs. It should never be a whack-a-mole thing where, hey, I'm going to buy this tool here or that tool there. You need to start at the top with a vision. And, when you have that vision and the buy-in from your senior executives, you can go out and execute against that in a programmatic manner. So, the deliberate integration of the OT security program with the IT security program is something that wasn't always there. And now we see a lot more CISOs not only owning both of those spaces, but really being able to interrogate and analyze data across those two spaces where once they might have been more stovepiped.
So, Josh, there's a wide range of different kinds of companies and different size companies that sort of fall under that whole banner of pharmaceutical and life sciences sector. What are some of your top recommendations for how these sorts of companies in general can better address some of the cybersecurity issues that they're dealing with right now?
Well, listen, I just spoke to one, and it's not rocket science, but I think some of our most trusted partners have been doing this for a long time, which is taking a top-down view. If you travel to any cybersecurity related conference, you'd be overwhelmed by the number of companies and products that are out there in the market and offering to solve all sorts of problems. I mean, AI is on the tips of everyone's tongue, but I've lost track of how many times I've seen a pitch for an AI-enabled product that's going to solve everything, right? All your security needs. So, I'd always be wary of that. I'd take a top-down view. There's a lot of great tools and technologies available today, and I think those aren't secrets. So we always encourage our clients to be collaborating with each other on best practices, talking with each other about their experiences. And so, I would say, with AI, for instance, a lot of promising stuff going on, but we need to be smart about where we kind of invest in that space, right? So I think there's some really interesting stuff that can be done when you think about, red teaming, using AI red teaming to really harden models that companies are using internally, right? That's something that's very effective. And also with AI, it can do some very bespoke things. So, developing AI-enabled solutions that allow you to look for a very specific threat or anomaly, it's not easy work, but once it's done correctly, can be very transformative in terms of things like mean time to detect. So I think there's, a lot of promise there, but it's going to take investment. It's going to have to be tested and refined, all the while with that programmatic view, right? So there's other efforts, Marianne, in places like secure data enclaves where, clients can kind of build these environments where they can really leverage, interrogate, and analyze all the data they have in much more cost-effective and time-effective manners than traditional tools have allowed us to do, and all the while keeping them very secure. So that's another area I would say we're seeing a lot of uplift, our clients gaining a lot of uplift from investing there. And finally, just always anywhere you can be proactive, whether it's engaging in red teaming or threat hunting activities. So you're not just exploring the known knowns, but really getting outside the box. That's important stuff. And it's not always within the budgets of all companies, but I would say those are real differentiators that when you can do it, enable really top-class security programs. Post-quantum is coming, right? Faster than a lot of companies wish to admit. So there's a lot of work to be done in terms of inventorying current assets, your encryption levels, leveraging PQC models and frameworks that are being adopted now to prepare for the eventuality of what a world, what the cyber world looks like once traditional encryption is no longer relevant. So that's an area that any industry sitting on top of a lot of IP with long lead product development pipelines like pharma has really should be investing in now. So yeah, that was a long list, Marianne, but it's also by no means exhaustive. But those are some of the big ticket items I would say are real areas that I would be focusing on.
Well, thank you so much, Josh. I've been speaking to Joshua Mullen. I'm Marianne Kovacek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.